You're listening to the ESPN Radio 94.1 podcast page, accelerated by Sports Innovation X. Six is bridging the gap between tech, athletes, and teams. Check them out at sportsinnovationx.com. Connecting with us now on the phone lines, ODU head football coach Ricky Ronnie, less than 3 weeks away from their season opener against Virginia Tech. So I know it's a busy time of year. Coach, thanks for taking the time. We'll start with the news that broke on Friday. Your offensive coordinator, Dave Patenaude, resigning exactly 3 weeks until your opener. What leads to that occurring during a time of year where, you know, it seems like you should be full speed ahead towards the opener?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a great example of us 1-0. And Tim, I know that's a question you got to ask, but I would just tell you that that's what we're doing right now. Our team is more focused on the future. We're not going to focus on the past and what happened. We're going to be focused on, you know, where our team is going, where our program is going. And right now I've been really impressed with how locked in every single player on our team has been and how they've handled I'm not going to sit here and act like it's not going to be a distraction, right? So, but I really have been proud of how the guys have responded. We've had some of our best, most spirited, most competitive practices over the last 4 or 5 days. And I've just been impressed with how the guys have handled everything.
As you do move forward and look to go 1-0 on these next days, in the statement you mentioned you'd be restructuring some responsibilities. How will the staff be restructured as you do move forward?
Yeah, we're gonna announce that pretty soon. I want to make sure everything is exactly buttoned up so that we don't have to have 3 or 4 announcements. Again, I'm just trying to help you, Tim. You know what I mean? I don't want you to have 2 different stories. No, I'm just kidding. But we're gonna do it in 1 announcement. So, you know, we've already been actively working off of it a little bit right now, but we want to just make sure that we finalize some things and make sure that everything is exactly how we want it to go before we announce it. The great thing is we've told our team and again, our team is very good at keeping things in house and they know how we're going to do things. And I've loved how they've responded to how those things are working.
Head coach ODU football, Ricky Ronnie, connecting with us here on the phone lines. Coach, you've told us in the past that this offseason that your offense was becoming a collaboration of, you know, what you've done in the past with Coach Patenaude's additions. As the playbook moves forward, are you keeping his additions to the playbook?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when I was saying it was a collaboration, I was saying it was a collaboration of everybody on the staff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think that we had taken a lot of our good things that we had done in the past. And when you start looking at an offense, you know, there's some things that are in there and maybe they're named certain ways and there's better ways to communicate it. And I think that that's one thing that we've done. We've really changed some of the terminology for the better. It's made it easier for the players to digest. It's made it much easier for new players to digest. And I've been talking to the guys and they all really like all the changes that we've made. So yeah, we're going to keep, some of those things. We've got to look at and see, hey, what can we practice? What can we actually get better at? What do we need to, hey, this thing, is a great idea, but it just hasn't panned out for us right now, because there's a lot of great ideas that not every team can run. You know what I mean? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the veer option is a great idea, right? It's just not, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
absolutely.
And the Delaware wing tee, right? It's a great, like, that stuff's awesome. It's just not what we do. So I think that that's just one thing is we've got to make sure, hey, as we look through here, hey, what are the things that we can really focus on, really get better at, and really master?
Head coach, ODU football, Ricky Ronnie, joining the show on the phone lines. Coach, you mentioned how you look out for us, right? You want to make sure we have enough to talk about. Starting quarterback is one of those things you've been looking out for us for a couple of years. We had Harry Minium on the show last week and he kind of guessed that Hayden Wolf was leading the race to be starting quarterback. Was Harry on the nose?
I mean, I think that Harry does a lot of great things, but you know, I think there's, he's going to make his guesses and those sort of things, but I do think that our quarterbacks are playing as good as they've played. I think Hayden Wolf was playing as well as he's played since I've been here. I think DJ Mack is playing as well as he's played since I've been here. I think that, you know, Brendan Clark is really making some major strides, both physically and mentally. And then, you know, we've got some freshmen who are doing some really nice things. So probably as happy with the quarterback play during this camp as I have been in a while. And I, if nothing else, it's making the decision, you know, hard on everybody, but it's also making everybody very confident that when we make that decision, we're going to have a starting quarterback that's really going to help us, you know, not only win games, but is going to be one of the reasons that we win games.
I don't know if you saw this, but Zach Kuntz was named number 11 on Bruce Feldman's of the Athletics. He makes a list of the biggest athletic freaks in college football every year, and Zach Kuntz was number 11 as a 6'8 guy with, they said, a 40-inch vert. Now, you run in some of the same worlds I do, right? So there's a lot of people out there, if you ask them, they have a 4'4 or they have a 40-inch vert. Those two numbers just, they roll off the tongue of a lot of different prospects and players. Is Zach Kuntz truly a 6'8 guy with a 40-inch vert, or is there, you know, is that just a nice number to say?
I've never measured it, right? But what I would tell you this, I've seen him touch ceilings that I didn't think were possible for a human being to touch. So does that answer your question?
It does, yeah, except it makes me think of like the third grader touching the doorway. Is he just like leaping up to touch ceilings as like a party trick?
Yes. Yes. I mean, he really does. I mean, he touches like banisters and things like that. I mean, like if the people out there, if anybody needs, some things dusted very high, I'm sure he can do that. He's got incredible athletic ability. I mean, if you just look at what his hurdles were in high school and all those sort of things, I mean, he is a very talented young man. But that's, I think, the best part about him is just how great a kid he is. He won our Heart of a Lion Award the other day, which is, you have to dominate all summer. You can't miss a weight. You can't miss a rep. You can't ever miss a time on anything. You've got to be wearing the right stuff every time. And then after that, there's a group of people, and then your teammates vote for you on who really exemplified what it is. And we had one offense, one defense. Luke Lindenfelder won for defense. It's an incredible honor. And the fact that he got it really says a lot about, his maturity.
I have to be honest, my quarterback mind jumps, right? We laugh about him jumping up to touch ceilings and stuff, and then about 2 seconds later, I'm going, you know what, red zone, I'm throwing jump balls all day. How big of a part of the red zone offense is he going to be?
Yeah, he needs to be, and he needs to score more touchdowns, and he needs to do that, but it's not only going to just be fades. I mean, I think that's what everybody's exact instance is. When you start breaking down, I don't care if it's the NFL, I don't care if it's – once you get to college in the NFL, red zone fades are one of the lowest percentage throws you can possibly make. You know what I mean? Everyone wants to do them. I've done them, all right? I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't. But you've got to have other compliments to them because they're just not the highest – they're just not a very high percentage. But when a guy's 6'8 with a 40-inch vertical leap, obviously they're a little bit higher percentage.
And back shoulders, right? They're just so fun to throw, just – dart a little back shoulder there.
Yeah, they are. But you know better than most that those are a lot more challenging to throw than people acting like, dude. The fans are just like, yeah, just throw it back shoulder. It's like, yeah, no problem. Like, just rip it on his back shoulder. You know that takes a little bit more time, skill, and development and feel than most people give it credit for.
Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams can do it, so every college quarterback and receiver can do it too. You know that.
Yeah, exactly. Those guys had, it's going to be that's a great point, though, right? Will David Carr and Devontae Adams have the same rapport, which – I mean, they played in college together, so you'd like to think they probably would. But that'll be an interesting thing to see if his red zone numbers go down and if Aaron Rodgers can find somebody else. Because, I coached Jordy Nelson when we were at Kansas State, and Aaron and Jordy had, pretty good rapport as well.
What do you remember about Jordy Nelson as a receiver? Because he came in as a walk-on safety, right?
Yeah, but by the time I got there, he was a freak. His senior year, which is his fifth year, senior year, he had 1,600 yards receiving. He had 122 catches and I think 15 touchdowns. He also threw two touchdowns, had two punt return touchdowns and a kickoff return touchdown. With 3 games into the season, he led our team in rushing touchdowns, passing touchdowns, and receiving touchdowns. He was unbelievable. We would put him up there and we would throw him the ball on every play. And you got to remember, we had Josh Freeman at quarterback, right?
Yep.
But we also had I mean, we had Jaren Mashaud at tight end who played in the NFL. We had James Johnson at running back who played in the NFL. And so it's not like he was our only NFL guy. We had other dudes. And he was just so good that we would just put him wherever the ball was going to go. First read, that's where he was going to go. And teams couldn't double him because, you know, we moved him all over the field. And he was so fast, people did not appreciate or realize how fast he was.
But the real question is, how high of a ceiling could he touch?
I don't know that. I don't know. But he certainly was a powerful, powerful person, and he was also one of the best athletes I've ever seen. What he had, and I have shown Zach a couple of these clips and things like that. He was great stiff arm. I still remember a stiff arm he gave on he ran a basic, a 10 to 12 yard dig against Texas, and I want to say 2000 and. Let's say seven. Yeah. And he caught it over the middle at Texas, and he stiff-armed their safety. And, I mean, it was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen.
Ricky Ronnie, head coach, ODU football, connecting with us. Coach, before I let you go, just to get a kind of a timeline for where you guys are at as a team, about 2.5 weeks to the opener, when do you switch to VT prep and kind of game week and out of camp?
Yeah, about a week. You know, about a week. We've still got probably, you know, four legitimate more camp practices before we start getting into more game one prep. And those camp practices are critical. There's a lot of situational football. We did some 2-minute today. We did a little red zone today. But those situations, you know, we still got to go over overtime and 4-minute and things like that. So that situational football is critical, and it's something that, you know, I don't care who your opponent is. You've got to master that stuff if you want to win games.
I used to love 2-minute practice. Did the was the energy, the trash talk up? It seems like that always drew it out of the defense, you know. And we gave it to him as well.
And we actually went live today during
nice.
2-minute, right? Yeah, not with the quarterbacks, but with everybody else, because I think it helps, right? Guys getting out of bounds. Hey, we should have kept him in bounds, and all those sort of things. Defense did a nice job on that. The offense did a nice job in a live red zone period today. So it was a very competitive practice.
Coach, we appreciate you for taking the time. Good luck as you you make your way through camp, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
Once again, that's Ricky Ronnie, head coach, ODU football, giving some stories of Jordy Nelson. That sounded like video game numbers, and also diving into the Dave Patenaude resignation from on Friday. So a lot of interesting stuff there. It'll be up on our podcast shortly at ESPNRadio941.com. Welcome back into the 757 at 6 here on ESPN Radio 94.1. And thank you once again to Coach Ronnie for joining us. That was a conversation right before the break we aired that was recorded yesterday. So those were the thoughts of Coach Ronnie on Monday. And obviously a lot of camp focus for ODU is going to be pretty obviously focused on the fact that their offensive coordinator resigned 3 weeks before their opener against Virginia Tech. But first of all, we got a lot of coach speak. We should just acknowledge that right out the gate, right? I asked what led up to it, and he started with, it's part of going 1-0 every day moving forward, which, I mean, that's not even the question I asked, but also coaches do. It's you know, they have their talking points, so we won't roast him too hard about it. But I want to focus on a few things that we can parse from it, right? Because the things that seep through in a conversation when one side is actively trying to give you nothing, like the fact that it seeps through just kind of proves how important it is. And you know, almost without my prodding, he said, hey, I'm not going to pretend this isn't going to be a distraction. Yeah, it's a distraction. And camp is a time where you try to eliminate all distractions. Right. Part of why Coach Patenaude resigning is so surprising is they had already like sealed the edges. Right. They had already put everyone in the boat, set out to sea. Normally there's no newcomers. There's no outgoers. Right. It's everybody's locked in, and it's one direction and it's forward. So the fact that someone was even able to bail is an eye opener for some players. And it becomes a distraction simply because you had invested, right? Once you get inside that sealed submarine of camp, it's a distraction if that seal is broken, let alone if someone breaks the seal and leaves. So this is where Coach Ronnie's job gets really, really tough. It's how he deals with the falling out without making it. I mean, if it's ever described as a falling out, that becomes a problem, because falling out just has a negative annotation. So it's how he deals with the ripple effects. And it starts with how they structure the staff. Again, a part I thought was interesting, and he didn't give us the actual structure, but he said, we've been operating within that structure since Friday. Now, he said, we'll put a statement out to make sure everything's all buttoned up within the next couple of days, but that is so crucial. It is the maybe the most important decision he's going to make all year, more than any timeout call, more than any go for it on fourth down, more than any, yeah, we should blitz this quarterback that handles the blitz well. More than any of those decisions, it's going to be who takes those responsibilities within the coaching staff and how quickly does the team buy into them being capable of those responsibilities. I mean, let's not forget, Coach Patnode was hired by Ricky Ronnie, what was it, January? We're in August. Not exactly a super long time, right? It's not like it was years and years and years where this guy was in his spot and it just grew stale. But what that also says is it doesn't take an expert to look around and go, okay, well, whoever's handling the offensive coordinator job now, Coach Ronnie didn't choose to be the offensive coordinator in January. So how quickly can they get everyone to buy in? Essentially, what this becomes, and this is going to be a nice little inception wordplay here, so everybody buckle up. The coaches, and specifically Coach Ronnie, have to create positive distractions to distract you from the negative distractions. That is a sentence with three distractions that I think actually made sense. And here's little things that I'm talking about. On social media, Harry Minium, who covers the team. We had him on the show. If it wasn't last week, it was the week before. Harry Minium posted a video on Twitter of, and I have to make sure I get his title right. I deal with this person all the time, so I want to make sure I'm official when we're on air. The Senior Associate Athletics Director for Broadcasting and Communications, Eric Bohannon, right? A guy that helps us out a ton. Coach Ronnie challenged him to catch a punt during practice. And Eric Bohannon, I believe the length of his athletics resume at the college level is he was a Mansfield in upstate New York long snapper. He went out there to catch a punt. Now, the video was short, but I assume there was some kind of connection to, you know, like two less sprints if he catches it, two extras if he doesn't, because that seems to always be how those punt things work. Normally, they put like the starting, you know, right guard out there. They don't put the Senior Associate Athletics Director for Broadcasting and Communications. But they put him out there to catch a punt. He caught it. Team goes wild. That's a positive distraction, right? And that is a person who everybody on the team has a positive relationship with. That person is the guy who taps you on the shoulder when you're being interviewed. That person is the person who taps you on the shoulder when there's a media request and there's jokes and it's fun. So involving him in practice is a move that seems trivial, seems lighthearted, seems like a way to break up the monotony of camp, and it is, but it's also a little coaching Jedi trick, right? To make everybody in the locker room going, hey, they probably have some team nickname for him, right? EB or something like that. Do you see EB? Man, EB smooth moved under it. Like there are conversations that are going on about that. And if they weren't talking about that, they may be talking about the fact that their offensive coordinator bailed on them 4 days ago. Right? Because it doesn't take long to get to an ugly place. Somebody just gave up on them, right? That is when someone resigns, that's not what happens when you're like, hey, this is awesome. I love it. I really like the future of this team. You resign when you're like, hey, this isn't very fun for me and I don't agree with the way things are going. So don't even let them get there until you have an answer. Right? Don't even let those conversations take place until you can point them in the direct place that things are going to be fixed, things are going to be better, things are stable. I said this on Friday. I said it again yesterday. I'll say it again today. Right now, Coach Ronnie is playing college football head coach on hard mode, all Madden. Right? He ramped things up, and who knows what went on behind the scenes to get here, but I know that now that he is here, This isn't the fun part that you think of when you go into coaching, right? When your career is over and you think, I'm going to go be a GA and hopefully one day be a head coach, you're thinking about real life fantasy football, right? I get to go assemble players that I think are good. You think of real life Madden. You get to sit back, call plays, and watch guys score touchdowns. You're not thinking of, how in the heck do I keep a team together when their offensive coordinator resigns 3 weeks before they play one of the biggest games of their season to open the season at home against a Power 5 opponent? That is the hard stuff, right? That's up there with, like, you know, having to tell a player they're getting benched, or having to tell a player that, you know, you don't want them to stick around for their fifth year and then hopefully they graduated in four. Those conversations are not fun, but what's going on right now is the hard stuff. And it, to be completely honest, it's what decides how good you're going to be. Because every team has their obstacles. This one's pretty obvious. It's pretty, you know, front and center right before the season. But every team has, say, an injury. Every team has a disagreement. Every team has some kind of off the field, you know, a DUI or something. Every team has something going on, and it's how you adjust, how you adapt, and how you minimize the impact of those distractions that decide whether you are going to be a great program, a great team, a great coach, or the opposite, which obviously isn't as desirable, right? So Coach Ronnie, up to this point, I've been really impressed with what he's done at ODU. He took over a team that didn't play football for the first like 20 months he was on campus. They started last season 1-5. He flipped them around, got them bowl eligible. He's developed players. But now the hard part is dealing with distractions. And if you can overcome it and keep that positive momentum, positive trajectory on the program, then I think we're all in even further. But we're going to obviously watch and take notes and talk about it right here on the 757 at 6. That does it for us on the 757 at 6. Thank you to Robbie for keeping us up and running. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, thanks for listening and have a great night, everybody.